Hello, Sonny.
Happy Monday, Yeheus.
Sonny, I understand your starting line is Kenyan Athletics.
Yeheus, Kenyan Athletics was recently rocked after Rita Jepto, the 2014 Boston and Chicago Marathon champion, tested positive for an illegal substance. A recent report found that doping is becoming a serious issue in the country. And now some Kenyan athletes are afraid the scandal could cast a shadow over their reputation as the fastest long-distance runners in the world. Hillary Hewler filed this feature report from Kenya's capital, Nairobi.
When Rita Jepto crossed the Chicago Marathon finish line in October, winning the race for the second time, the spectators weren't the only ones cheering. Jepto's fellow Kenyans thought they'd chalked up yet another in an impressive string of athletic victories. Jepto had also won the Boston Marathon three times, and two more Kenyan runners finished first in the New York Marathon in early November. But the euphoria was short-lived. In late October, it emerged that Jepto had tested positive for EPO, the same performance-enhancing drug American cyclist Lance Armstrong admitted to using. She was the highest-profile Kenyan athlete to ever test positive for a banned substance. Jepto denies having taken EPO, and Athletics Kenya, the sport's governing body, has reminded the public that her test results are not yet definitive. But the scandal has already sent shockwaves through Kenya's athletics community. John Muthiga has been training Kenyan athletes for 25 years, including a number of national record holders. He says doping has become a problem only recently.
In the 80s, we did not have doping in Kenya. Now we are having it, we are hearing of doping cases since the year 2000.
Jepto isn't the first Kenyan to be caught doping, and Muthiga says that even before the recent scandal, Kenya's reputation for clean runners had begun to slip.
Sometimes I was in Poland last 2 years ago during the World Cross Country, and I heard the people from Malaysia and other places saying that is now we are competing against the dopers.
Such accusations bother Muthiga, who insists that his athletes' performances are due to hard training and natural talent. Foreign managers, he says, are to blame for the influx of drugs. Sports law and medicine professor Moni Wekesa, for the most part, agrees.
For a long time, Kenya has had this image of having natural runners since the days of the Rome Olympics in 1960 and so on. In terms of long-distance running, the depth of talent is just unimaginable. And most of these are actually exerting their natural talent.
But earlier this year, Wekesa chaired an anti-doping task force whose report, presented last month, was damning. Kenya has virtually no controls in place to prevent doping, it said, adding that drugs were readily available and most athletes don't have enough information to make the right choices.
The problem is very bad in the sense that there's a lot of ignorance around the matter. Then the sports federations are doing nothing and have done nothing about it before. There's no doping education going on. Many batting athletes have no idea what drugs to take and for what to take them.
Painting all Kenyan athletes as dopers would be unfair, he says, especially since banned substances are still more common in the West. But a closer examination of Kenyan's performance could ultimately be very good for the country, he adds.
This perception would be coming at the right time for Kenya because for a long time, Kenya believed, well, we run naturally, we do our sport naturally, doping is a problem of elsewhere. But now with this kind of publicity, I think it's high time that the authorities concerned sat down and did something about this.
In early November, a Kenyan cabinet minister admitted the country had a doping problem and announced plans to open an anti-doping agency by the end of the year. Hillary Hewler for VOA News, Nairobi.
Now let's go to Greece, where Kenyan athlete Felix Kandy ran to a sweet victory on Sunday when he set a course record of 2 hours, 10 minutes, and 37 seconds in winning the Athens Marathon. The energetic Andy Edwards caught up with the Kandy man after his sugary triumph. Here's Andy.
Kandy, you've run inside 2:11. That's a wonderful performance. Did you feel strong all the way?
Yeah, I feel strong. At the start first, my body did not respond well. I was fighting. Then as we passed the halfway, I felt like my body has responded well. And I thought maybe I'll try to run top 3. But I was surprised at the 35th kilometer when I dropped two guys. We remained 2 guys. So I tried to fight. I knew that if I maintain the base, maybe I will win the race.
Raymond Bett was your closest challenger, and he's won it twice before. Were you worried about him? Because you went away from him after about 35 kilometers.
Yeah, actually, for me, I was not afraid of him. As I just know, the best winner win. And if I get the second position or the first, we are coming from one place. I could have been happy also if you just won.
Everyone says this Athens course is so hard. It's up and down. It's really tough. What did you think of it?
As we were traveling to the starting line, I was so worried a little bit because I was seeing the bus going downhill. So no flat, no any way I can run fast. I was just wondering if I could maintain the pace of 3 or 4, 3 or 5 that the race organizer told us to maintain.
Well, we're talking in this Panathinaikon Stadium, which was used for the first modern games in 1896. What's it feel like running into this stadium and crossing the line as the Athens champion?
I feel very happy that I have come around here. It's a great pleasure for me. Great privilege.
Felix Kandy, winner of the Athens Marathon, the authentic marathon in 2014. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And thank you, energetic Andy Edwards, for your nice coverage of the Athens Marathon in Greece. Meanwhile, Kenya made it a clean sweep of the titles in the Greek capital when Naomi Mayoi won the women's race in 2 hours, 41 minutes, and 6 seconds. Joining us now with some big African football news is the VOA's Nightline Africa sportsman, Segun Dot on the spot, Adeyemi.
The 2015 Africa Cup of Nations is in trouble. To save the tournament, organizer African Soccer's governing body, CAF, must find a replacement after Morocco rejected an ultimatum to go ahead with the event in January. Morocco has reiterated its stand not to host the tournament early next year due to fears over the spread of the Ebola virus. CAF refused to entertain a change of dates and must now find an alternate host as quickly as possible or face cancelling the tournament at great financial cost. CAF has approached other African countries to step in as an emergency replacement, but has so far received no public expressions of support. The continental governing body is due to meet in Cairo, Egypt on Tuesday to decide on the next course of action. We will not be making any statements until after the meeting makes a final decision, CAF media director Junior Biam says. The continental ruling body had given Morocco until Saturday to give a firm response on whether it will stage the event. But on that day, Morocco's sports minister Mohamed Ouzim merely restated the fear that the tournament could spread Ebola. This decision is motivated mainly by the medical risks that will put this virus on the health of our fellow Africans, the minister said in a statement. Morocco is concerned that supporters from West Africa converging on the country for the tournament could bring with them the deadly virus and put at risk its important tourist industry. Parts of West Africa are facing the worst Ebola epidemic since the virus was identified in 1976, and cases have reached as far as the United States and Spain. Morocco says it could host the tournament later, recalling that CAF had back-to-back Nations Cup in 2012 and 2013, when it switched from hosting the event from even to odd years, and could reverse the process in 2016 and 2017. CAF, which garners the majority of its revenue from the tournament's television and marketing rights, has cited a packed calendar for its refusal to consider a June date or move to early 2016. Finally, Nigeria will host 5-time world champion Brazil in a high-profile friendly on March 29th at a new stadium that was opened on Friday in the country's southern Akwa Ibom state. Nigeria hosted Brazil in 2003 in the capital city of Abuja, with Brazil winning 3-0. The new 30,000 capacity stadium will be used for Nigeria's final 2015 Africa Cup of Nations qualifying match against South Africa on November 19th. Thanks so much for listening. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Segun Adeyemi in Lagos. VOA.
I encourage our VOA listeners with internet access to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America!
And if you check out my Facebook page today, Monday, you'll see a photo of the Candy Man, Felix Candy, crossing the finish line after his sweet victory in the Athens Marathon. Meanwhile, veteran American boxer Bernard Hopkins suffered a bitter defeat over the weekend, losing his IBF and WBA light heavyweight titles to Russia's Sergey Crusher Kovalev. The 31-year-old Kovalev, 18 years younger than Hopkins, dominated the bout, winning every round on his way to a unanimous decision. Bernard Hopkins made his professional debut way back in 1988, the same year I started at the Voice of America. If this was indeed his last fight, he'll be remembered as one of the greatest boxers of all time, especially when he was a middleweight. Hopkins held a piece of the World Middleweight Championship from 1994 to 2005 and made 20 successful titles.